Blog Talk Radio.
Live from just off the U.S. mainland, Santa Catalina Island, out west in the Pacific Ocean, from Avalon Harbor. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be, on the internet and around the world. My name is Lauren Cartagena, and thank you again for joining us for Radio Pangea. Radio Pangea is a true independent news outlet. We report the news for what it is, not for how we want it to be. And more importantly, beyond how we want it to be, the United States and the world is going to get a new leader within just a matter of hours. Donald J. Trump will assume the helm of the 45th presidency of these United States of America. And with that, he is going to be not only the leader of the free world, but he's also going to inherit a lot of problems in the world. Problems that were not created by him, problems that were created by other administrations, and problems that he will ultimately have to deal with that will be blamed on him. Now, we're not taking any sides here, but what we're saying is that there is a changing of the guard, and what this new administration brings, time and only time could possibly tell. So with that, we want to say there is precedent now to put behind the really fractious, or should I say, the election cycle that happened last year, 2016 presidential election cycle in the United States, was so raucous, was so polarizing, that family, friends, and people who were once close do not even speak to each other anymore. I remember reading some stories about how last November, people were uninvited to Thanksgiving, let alone Christmas, simply because they had difference of political views. And that's fine. You can support whoever you want in the United States. That's the beauty of living in a free country, is you have the right to believe or vote however you like. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when the results are in, and after a couple months later, you have to, one, accept the fact that there is going to be a new president, and two, wait and see what's going to happen. You know, let's not just go in this with this whole notion that we're going to hit him with a 2x4 between the eyes. That doesn't do anybody any good. So in the interest of working together and being together and progressing together as a nation, as a species, as a planet, whatever you want to call it, we need to stick together because we're all in this together. And if you think we're not, you're sadly mistaken. So here are some of the news stories and some of the events and situations that the new president, Donald J. Trump, will have to assume when he gets in office in just a matter of hours. More than 80 Islamic State jihadists were killed in a U.S. aerial blitz on training camps in Libya, including fighters involved in plotting attacks in Europe. The Pentagon made the highly unusual decision to conduct an airstrike with a pair of B-2 stealth bombers that flew to North Africa on a 34-hour mission from the base in Missouri in America's North Midwest. The camps were located about 45 kilometers or roughly 30 miles southwest of the coastal city of Sirte, Gaddafi's former home, and that of the IS for a time that has turned into a stronghold and has attempted to expand its presence in Libya. Speaking on his last day in office, Defense Secretary Ash Carter said the targets certainly are people who are actively plotting in operations in Europe and may also have connections to some attacks that have already occurred in Europe. The air assault came a month after the United States had officially wrapped up its military operation in and around Sirte. The Pentagon launched that mission, Operation Odyssey Lightning, on August 1st, and it comprised of roughly 500 strikes over the course of a few months. When operations concluded last month, the Pentagon left open the possibility of conducting initial anti-ISIS attacks if the Libya's government did not ask for help in doing so. Trump's position on Libya is unclear, and his public statements have reflected shifting views from supporting Omar Gaddafi to approving of his ouster to wishing that he had stayed in power. Those are three different views that President Donald J. Trump has expressed over the past 6 years. In other news, Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook billionaire, paid close to $100 million for 700 acres of beachfront property on the island of Kauai in 2014. Now he is suing a few hundred Hawaiians who still have legal ownership claims to part of his vacation estate through their ancestors. Three holding companies controlled by Zuckerberg's filed 8 lawsuits in local courts on December 30th against families who collectively inherited 14 parcels of land through Kuleana Act, a Hawaiian law established in 1850 that, for the first time, gave natives the right to own the land that they lived on. The 14 parcels totaled just 8 of the 700 acres that Zuckerberg owns, but the law gives any direct family member of the parcel's original owner the right to enter the otherwise private compound. Only one of the parcels is being used by a retired professor named Carlos Adrande, who also joined Zuckerberg as a co-plaintiff in the lawsuits. The quiet title suits filed are designed to identify all property owners and give them the ability to sell their ownership stakes at auction, according to Zuckerberg's attorney. Because the ownership stakes are passed down and divided among family descendants by the state, many people don't realize they have a claim until the action is taken against them in court. Quote, "It is common in Hawaii to have small parcels of land within the boundaries of a larger tract, and for the title of these smaller parcels to have become or be broken or clouded over time," said Zuckerberg's attorney. "In some cases, co-owners may not even be aware of their interests. Quiet title actions are the standard and prescribed process to identify all potential co-owners, determine ownership, and ensure that if there are any co-owners, each receives appropriate value for their ownership share." Now, this isn't the first time that Zuckerberg has taken steps to fortify his Kauai property. In fact, last year, he even angered many neighbors by constructing a rock wall that blocked their views of the ocean. International news. The first direct freight train service from China to Britain arrived in London, another leg in Beijing's plan for closer trade ties with Europe along its modern-day Silk Road. The 18-day trip saw dozens of containers packed mainly with clothes and household goods transported from the city of Wuyu in eastern China to a freight terminal in Barking in East London via Kazakhstan, Russia, Belarus, Poland, and Western Europe. The train entered Britain from France through the Channel, completing a journey of 7,500 miles or just about 12,000 kilometers. The service offered businesses a new middle ground between shipping and air freight. It's quicker than sending goods by sea and cheaper than transporting it by air. China Railway already has more than 10 freight train services to several European destinations, including Madrid and Hamburg. They are part of President Xi Jinping's One Belt, One Road policy to revive the fabled Silk Road trading routes to the West. Weekly trains will initially be run to assess demand. Analysts say the service is not yet economically significant because the volume that can be transported is small compared with using container ships. There also isn't a return service to transport goods back from Britain to China, though this could be in the works. Other European countries have used the service to export items like wine and olive oil to China. Economically, its significance is still quite small, but politically it's very significant because China wants to show it's connecting directly with Europe. The European Union is China's largest trading partner, with Germany and France being the biggest players. In other news, a scientist in California has named a newly discovered moth species after President-elect Donald Trump, saying the white and yellow scales on the insect's head are reminiscent of Trump's blonde hairdo. The moth was named Neopulpa Donald Trumpy by evolutionary biologist Dr. Vizirik Nazari, who discovered it while dissecting moths and noticing that three specimens had a distinct wing pattern and unique DNA profile. He chose the name in part to bring awareness to the fragile habitats that may contain undiscovered species. The moths have been found in only two Southern California counties where urban growth is threatening its habitat. Namely, newly discovered species after famous people is nothing new. Nine species have been named in honor of President Barack Obama, including an ancient lizard and a coral reef fish. The International Commission of Zoological Nomenclature has rules to ensure that the same scientific name is used for the same animal by all scientists around the world. When a new species is found, it is described in a particular way and published in a science paper with descriptions and illustrations. Also, in other news today, we're going to talk about our science section. And in our science section, Mars. Specifically, are we going to Mars? What can mankind do out in the cosmos? And if we were to land on said planet, what benefits, if any, could we as human beings learn from our closest planet? Well, these are all questions that science has been asking as well. And with that comes an interesting bit of news. Six carefully selected scientists have entered a man-made dome on a remote island of Hawaii as part of a human behavior study that could help NASA as it draws up plans for sending astronauts on long-term missions to Mars. The four men and two women moved into their volcano-like new simulated space home on Mauna Loa, settling into the vinyl-covered shelter of 1,200 square feet, or about the size of a small two-room bedroom for an eight-month stay. They will have no physical contact with people in the outside world and will work with a 20-minute delay in communications with their support crew, or the time it would take for an email to reach Earth from Mars. The NASA-funded project will study the psychological difficulties associated with living in isolation and confined conditions for an extended period of time. NASA hopes to send humans to an asteroid in the 2020s and to Mars by the 2030s. The team members on the DOME project include engineers, computer scientists, and a doctoral candidate with a biomedical expert. They were selected from 700 applicants who were being subjected to personality tests, background checks, and extensive interviews. Now, Biosphere 2 was a similar project, and it was in the 1990s with an experimental greenhouse-like habitat in Arizona that became a huge debacle. It housed different ecosystems and a crew of four men and four women in an effort to understand what would be needed for humans to live on other planets. The participants were supposed to grow their own food and recycle their air inside of the sealed glass space. But this experiment soon spiraled out of control, with the carbon dioxide level rising dangerously and the plants and animals dying. The crew members grew hungry and squabbled so badly during the 2 years they spent cooped up that by the time they emerged, some of them were not even speaking to each other. The University of Hawaii operates the dome called Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation and has dedicated over $2 million to various studies at the facility. Scientists previously lived in a biodome for other long-term NASA-funded stays, one being a year and the other being 8 months. But unlike Biosphere 2, it will be an opaque structure, not a see-through one, and it will not be airtight. And with that, you now know the news. We will be broadcasting from the inauguration tomorrow, so please tune in with us. Thank you again for listening to Radio Pangea. As always, please, would you think for yourself?